Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Lauren Razor of Law Talk. It's great to be back with you on September 14, 2017. Of course, all of you are back from the wonderful summer that we've had. We've had a couple of weather, climate change issues, unfortunately, in Florida and, of course, in Houston. And pretty much, our country has been going through a lot of stress and a lot of things that would make you sort of want to doubt a whole lot of things and what's happening above. And, where are we going as a world, as a country? And things are pretty much, up in the air. And now Democrats are siding and at this point siding with this new president to cut some deals and hopefully for the good of the country and for the good of the people of the country. So, maybe at the end of the day, there's going to be a silver lining at the end of all of this. We know that I have a family member in Florida, in Jacksonville, and, they're all recovering from this major storm. So, we wish them the best, and hopefully, we know things will take a long time to recover. We saw photographs of how the water is still there, and we just don't want to forget about Houston, and we don't want to forget about Florida, even when, and what you see so, and of course, the islands are also being hit by these terrible, terrible storms and hurricanes. And the thing is, we don't want to forget about the people there. It seems like all of a sudden, we constantly, we move on to another, it gets out of the paper and it's out of sight, out of mind. We want to remember those who are there, who are suffering. There's a lot of things that come from that. We're talking about, people may not have incomes. People may not have jobs, because the place where they work has been destroyed. So there's a crippling effect that is major for those who are living in the area. People can't, there are no stores. There's water all over the place. And, of course, that leads to water that is contaminated. So there's hurdles that they're facing, and we pray that our higher power, which I do believe will help and intercede and make sure that the folks down there recover as quickly as they possibly can. Those of you, I was talking to someone today, and they thought that what I was doing has a lot to do with Lauren wants to hear maybe herself talk. No, that isn't the reason why I'm involved with Razor Law. The purpose of Razor Law has always been the purpose. What I've noticed out there in the world, the real world, is that there's such a lack of legal assistance to regular folks. I have seen, without funds, folks do not get the appropriate legal representation, nor do you get information that you can utilize. You don't have to have a case, but you can have understanding of what the law is to help yourself and your family. Charge. I'm delighted to do it on a blog because it is a way of reaching people that are listening, many people, without anything where you have to pay for it. So I touch on various topics that would be helpful, and I will continue to do so in terms of what I believe are some of the issues that people are facing out there. And I hope I get the support and those pass it on to, you know, pass it on to your family members. You can listen to it. That's why I like the blog. You can listen to it every night, or you can replay it. Unlike radio shows, it may not be, you know, for example, some of the shows on the radio, they go away. I used to have a show on one of the radio stations with a colleague of mine. I think for me, I think the best cost-effective way to do this and provide free information for the community is to utilize this vehicle called Blog Talk Radio. Depending on the number of listeners that we have and the continued increase and folks out there who are utilizing and needing the information, because we're going to keep going and keep going, where every area of law I'm hoping to help and touch on so that it can help. And even if it just brings the issues to the forefront, and then you can have you're enlightened by the subject matter. It may not be all of the legal issues that we can resolve. I have been very successful, and I've had my non-successful time as an attorney. I have, and we all have. But this is so the results that I have, have led me down the road to say that people just don't know. Even the question of getting a divorce, of timing of getting a divorce, is important. Obviously, you know, those of you, and I just touch on it for an example, why it is important to have knowledge and information, and then you can strategize and be in a better position to help, you know, be in a better position to help. When to file a divorce? When do you want to file your divorce when your children are under the age of 18 or 21, which triggers child support? Or do you want to wait till after they're 21, where maybe child support is not involved? You may want to wait in terms of what kind of property you're going to buy, depending on what you plan on doing in the future. So timing is really important in terms of some of these legal issues. So I will talk about some of that later on in terms of, you know, when do you file certain things? What is the ramification? You know, like some people can say, oh, I want to file for a divorce. So what I'll say to them is, the gentlemen or the women who are the moneyed spouse, I have to say to them, you know, you might end up paying for this divorce. If you want to file, just be aware that if your spouse is not equal in terms of monetary equality, then it's a good possibility that you will have to pay for the divorce. And when I say pay for it, you may have to pay for the fees. I had a client of mine who, his wife was not the moneyed spouse, although she did have some income, and he had to pay a good penny in terms of the legal fees. Also, you may want to consider the fact that if there's a custody battle, if you have a good job and both parties have a good job, you're going to have to pay for the law guardian that is appointed for the children. In addition, you will have to pay for, if you have a house, you will have to pay for evaluation of the house. So we have to look at strategy-wise, and then this is getting off it for the night because I like the topic about tonight. It's about libel and slander in the social media age. And, I want to point out what I see and how I see it developing. So just getting off subject, I talk about things that will give you an honest look at what a court lawyer, a lawyer who's, they say, in the trenches every day, some of the things that we face every day. These are the things that, you know, we can't, you know, we deal with every day. So it's not something that I'm making up. It's something that we see and we deal with on a daily basis. So it's actually, it's actuality. It's not just knowledge in a book. It's actuality. And that's what makes this, what I'm giving to you is gold. What do I mean? You wouldn't get this information but paying exorbitant fees. Hourly fees, just so you know, for an attorney can range. I mean, they can range. I have an attorney colleague that's $500 an hour. So, you know, these are the things that if you hone in and you listen to them, you'll be incredibly more educated about what's happening in the legal world than most. Tuned every week, we cover a new topic, or maybe I feel like going, matter of fact, maybe I feel like going back to some old topics. And you know, I will give scenarios of what it's like to even be in a courtroom as a plaintiff or defendant. I'll give you an example. I was actually a driver in an auto accident. So I was actually someone who was sued. So I've been on every level of this aisle, a plaintiff. I've represented plaintiffs. I've been a plaintiff. I've been everything you've known about a courtroom. I have been involved in that. And I'm truly proud that I'm able to share this with you. So what troubles me about social media and where we're going with it, you know, I remember one time I had a family member that was being bugged by somebody at work, and she was so annoyed at it. She just expressed some concern on Facebook. Then several family members from outside of New York, and it's also important to know that I should say at the top of the hour or half hour that I am a New York lawyer. Once again, I say this all the time. People see me in the street to say, oh, you're a New York lawyer. Yes, I am a New York lawyer. What that means is my jurisdiction is New York, all of New York. I can practice in any court in the state of New York. I cannot do that in New Jersey. I cannot do that in Florida. I cannot do that in North Carolina. What does that mean? It means that if you only have a bar license in a particular state, unless you get permission from the court to come into that state and practice along with another lawyer, it is probably something that you should not do. So the question is, the topic tonight, and I say that because it's about libel. It's about defamatory statements, dealing with them in the day of social media. So my family member who was just venting on Facebook, basically talking about what was happening to her as she's speaking on Facebook, my numerous other relatives saw it, and I remember that after she said what she said, they said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, where's he at, or whatever. In other words, and then I jumped in it to tell them that that could appear to be a threat. So even though that individual did not, that family member did not name the person, but it was at her job, she incited people, other people, to jump in on her behalf and say, where's he at? That, I remember that statement, and I had to come in and message them saying, depending on the scenario, it appears to be that, you know, you're inciting people to do something. Is that freedom of speech? And that's where the line is being drawn and the line is being blurred. And I say that because there is First Amendment rights to say what you like to say, you know, the First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. But let me just say this, not true. It's not freedom to say anything you want. It's not freedom to say, for example, I have a cases involving rap artists. There was a Supreme Court case, and I'll put it in that category. Can a rapper say in rap music, I'm going to kill someone? It's possible that by saying that, if someone does die, you can utilize that those rap lyrics in criminal proceeding. That is part of the law. So it's not a freedom to say anything you want to say, because if it's perceived as inciting people to do something, and they're doing it on your behalf, I think, I believe that if something is done, and it's done because you have led the charge, just like Donald Trump, the potential of him being sued for him inciting a crowd by saying, go and hit that person, or whatever he was saying at that that setting where he had the large crowd, and I think a young black man was sucker punched by one of the people in the audience. All of those now, of course, that is inciting violence. That is exciting people to do things. And what happens is it now we're on Facebook. So it's the same concept. If you're inciting people to do something negative, whether it's confronting people, whether you're inciting them to do something, the people on the other end down the road can use all of what you're saying on Facebook as potential against you. It can be used, and possibly everything you're saying on Facebook can be used in a court of law and interpreted, because it's so new, it can be interpreted. Defamatory statements, what is defamation, libel, and slander? It's clear. You know, the question is, what do you need to prove to hold someone liable for defamation? And pretty much these are false statements of fact, are negligently and intentionally communicated or published to a third person. If someone says something about my business, or they say something about someone else's business, or they say anything that could cause damage or injury to the subject or statement. So, for example, if you say something on Facebook and people know that you have to be very careful. So, you know, if you're talking about someone and then you go to Facebook and then you say something on Facebook, people will put it together, and that is pretty much, you can argue that you're beginning to defame the person. Once you see, and this is what is clear, and I would look to battle this, and be, that's why you must be careful about what you say on Facebook. Okay, that's more important than anything else. You must be careful about what you say on Facebook. So the argument can be made
if I said something negative to a person, and then I go on Facebook, okay, I go on Facebook, and I start saying things that that one individual that you spoke to recognizes who you're talking about, then you possibly have committed either slander or you have defamed the person. So that's what you have to, so because what you're doing is you're making your conversation, you're publishing your conversation because you've already talked about that person to another person, and then you go on and then you start going in about what the individual is. I've seen it. The reason why I'm saying it, I've seen these issues out here, and these are important things to understand the position that you would, this position that you would be in. Libel is written defamatory statement, and slander is oral defamatory statement. It is there to defame. It is there to be false. And if you're reckless and your conversation is intentional, so when you're talking to someone, that's important too. When you're talking to someone and you're defaming the person and you're saying it to another individual, then you have committed and broken whatever you want to say it for slander. And if you publish it, which if you go to Facebook and you begin to publish some of the things, even though you may not use the name, you may not use the name, but people know who you're talking about, then you're also now potentially looking at libel because now you're publishing what you're saying. So the oral defamation, and I think most people will say, damn, if I knew what I was saying could lead me into a lawsuit, the possibility of doing it, I may not do it. A statement is defamatory if it tends to hold the plaintiff up to scorn, hatred, ridicule, disgrace, or contempt in the mind of any considerable, respectable segment of the community. Oh, boy, this is so funny. People do it every day. I mean, I hear them talking about people every day. There are certain types of statements that are automatically considered defamatory in some states. See, I see and listen to people with their reckless conversations every day. So, and I have to stop them and say, you know, that if you were talking about me in that way, because I always want to protect my practice and my, you know, anything in terms of saying things personally, and particularly my business, I always want to make sure that the person who is talking is not saying anything that would have any impact on my business. So I always put a halt to that. But what is per se statements that are defamatory? You know, statements that the plaintiff claims has committed a serious. So, for example, if you said someone committed a crime or immoral crime, you said that. If the person you said has some sort of infectious disease, if you talk about the fact that someone is incompetent in their jobs, trade, or profession, you know, so people who flip off and say this person doesn't know how to do this, or this person is not good at that, or this person is this, that, and the other, by saying that, that is in fact a defamatory statement. Defamatory statement is a false statement. It is a false statement. If you say that Joe stole money, as they were using an example here from his employer, If that statement is a fact, then that's fine. But if it isn't true, then it's defamatory. That is a false statement that clearly can cause injury. It could get a person fired. Yes, you can have an opinion about a person, but I can say that if that opinion that you give, puts that person in a false light, I think that Joe stole the money. I think person is this. Does that turn fact into opinion? The answer is no. So it's important that we look at what we say. And depending on who you say it to and how you say it, as they say here, it's putting someone in a bad light. And even though you might say that that's your opinion, if the opinion is to defame them, if the opinion affects their position, their job, or anything like that, I think you have to stay away from it. I think you have to be careful about what we say. I think we have to be careful about what we say about individuals, and maybe a person can be defamed by a statement that is said, written only to him or herself. You can't defame something that's written to yourself, but it has to be made to a third person. That's important. It has to be made to a third person. The key question is, I mean, there's a lot to it. The key question is, though, the other person has to know the statement is false. The person who made the statement acted recklessly, disregard of the truth, negligently in failing to even ascertain whether the statement was true, and whether the statement was treated to a third person. I believe you were mistreating an individual. Well, that may be your opinion, but if you say it and it's false, it may be an issue of slander, and therefore they may have a cause of action against you. Anyway, this is Razor Law. I truly appreciate your listening. Please tune in. Give me as many listeners as possible and share it with everyone on Facebook, and hopefully we will continue this conversation. Have a great week, and have a safe week yourself and your family.